Amen. Tonight, 1 Peter chapter 1, 13 to 16. Thank you for praying for me Sunday. You could tell people were praying, feeling better. But I'm still going to have the chair up here and sit down just to keep strong. And just wonderful how God works. But, you know, when we go to prayer later, we'll pray for this. There definitely is an attack of the enemy on. And a lot of people that are teaching the Word of God are involved, just getting attacked. But greater is He that's in us than he that's in the world. That's why we need to pray. Today we're going to cover on focusing on the Lord. You know, in 1 Peter 1, we've been encouraged and exhorted to endure and persevere under trials. Now, when you're studying something like that, you're going to probably go through trials. Christians will suffer persecution and trials, but we're to persevere and keep our eyes and hope in Jesus Christ. One day we're going to be delivered from here, and we're going to be with the Lord. We need to be faithful. You know, in verse 8 we read, we love Him even though we haven't seen Him, and we believe in Him and rejoice in Him and look forward to seeing Him one day. The end of our faith is salvation, we read. We have all these things, these blessings, and therefore, he tells us in verse 13, therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So he says, gird up the loins of your mind. That's an interesting term. You think of, say, gird up your loins, because you're going to move on. He says, gird up the loins of your mind. The term gird up your loins was a term which meant to take that long flowing robe, which they wore, and you know, pick it up, because sometimes you see them with a short garment on, sometimes with a long garment on. They would take it up, and with the sash or a cord, you know, tie up the robe with a belt around their waist. Now, what would that do? You could move faster. You could run. You could walk without being hindered at all. And so they would gird up the loins, that way pick up the robe, tie it up, and be able to move good, ready to go. Much easier to move when you gird up the loins. No long robe in the way, bigger steps. It helped physically. Now, gird up the loins of your mind, he says, because we have all this awaiting us, these blessings, these things from God, and such, you know, so much in Jesus. Get your mind and your thoughts girded up. He's saying, be encumbered, unburdened in your mind. Get rid of the stuff in your mind that would take your focus off of Jesus and the things of God. It's not hard to do that today. You see, get your mind, your thoughts together, it means. Get with it mentally and get with it spiritually. That's what he's saying. We can get hindered by so much, get our focus off the Lord and what we have, and get so caught up with the world and what we don't have. And that when we have trials or go through this life, when it's difficult, then we get discouraged. But we can only rejoice in the Lord if we gird up the mind and say, wait a minute, not going to be held back. Remove the distractions. Don't look around at the circumstances. Be ready for service to do whatever the Lord calls. Keep your eyes on the Lord. You know, don't let the world, the flesh, or the devil get in the way. Don't let them get in the way. We hear so much about focus today. This is about focusing your mind on God. Have you ever heard of focus groups? Companies have focus groups. You know, in athletics, they tell you to focus on the game, focus on the ball. Tonight, we're having a focus group. the focus on the Lord. People say, well, I don't need to go to Bible study, read the Bible. You know, and they just go in and out of church maybe once a week and to put in their time and feel they're okay. But you're not really focusing if you're not in the Word of God. And so these other things will take place. You know, we're in that day where the world isn't a good place to live. We got to focus on the Lord and what we have because we're citizens of heaven. That's what Peter is saying here. Get it together in your mind spiritually. Colossians 3, verse 2, if you'd like to turn back there. Colossians 3, verse 2. Paul writes here, set your mind on things above and not on things of the earth. Set your mind, it means to set the affection on, focus on, entertain things above, the life you have in Christ. Focus on the things above. You know, when you're going through trials and you don't feel good, when you go through things, very easy to get off focus and be ready to get discouraged. And that's what Satan wants. You know, as I was starting to feel better Monday and Tuesday, last night my wife and I just started listening to this channel of gospel hallelujah music. I don't know if you have it on your cable. It's called Gospel Hallelujah. It's really regular gospel music. I was blown away. How things have changed even in her music. There's, and I, you know what I came to the conclusion of? I know why they call it gospel music, because it's music about the gospel. And the words are so powerful, and they cover so much of the Bible in the songs. Stories in the Bible, even Hezekiah and things like that. But there is a song called, by Michael Combs, called Not For Sale. And boy, did that get my focus back. If you can get it on the internet, Google it, Michael Combs, Not For Sale. It'll speak of this day and age. And, wow, get out of here, Satan, I'm not for sale. It's so good. Quite a song. And there's another song he sang, It Is Me. It Was Me. It Was Me, Michael Combs. And you listen to the gospel songs, there was many of them. They're about real life and the real help in life. Not some alternative help, but Jesus and God. Boy, that really helped me. It'll probably help you. I know it will. Focus on things above. Satan is going about like a roaring lion seeking whom he can devour. That's what he's doing. He's doing it in different ways. Illnesses, deaths, problems in life, he's doing it. And he gets our focus off the Lord. We're in a focus group tonight. And he says, gird up the mind. It's so important as a Christian that we keep the focus on the Lord because there's a lot of distraction. We're going to go through sorrow, trial, death, pain, injury, bodies getting older, fiery trials. Our fiery trials were tested as gold, it told us earlier in 1 Peter. The key to going through them and rejoicing in the Lord is to gird up the loins. Whether it's listening to gospel music or reading the Bible a lot or praying or talking about the Lord or helping someone or sharing, get it on the Lord. Get it on the Lord. As you get it on the Lord, you forget the other things. The key to going through that is gird up the loins of your mind. You know, Isaiah 26, 3 and 4, it says, he will keep him in perfect peace. Who? Whose mind is stayed on you. I think all of us would say we want perfect peace. then you have to stay your mind on the Lord. God will keep you and me if we're stayed upon the Lord. Don't stop trusting in the Lord, thinking about the Lord. Gird up the loins of your mind. Don't untie the robe. Keep the belt on. And it says in Philippians 4, don't worry about anything. Pray about everything with thanksgiving. And think on things above. Remember that? It says think on things above that are holy, pure. Now, sometimes we can think, what does that mean? Think on things above. Heaven? And then you run out of things to think about. So as I had time, I was thinking about that. Well, I was thinking things above. My wife is a thing from above. The Bible says, blessed I am. I find favor with God because he's given me a wife. He's blessed me. I am blessed because I have this church and you people, chance to share his word. And I started thinking what that means. Keep your mind on things above. It's all these things in life. Not only heaven and what awaits us, but all these things we have. Hope when things look bad. The opportunity to share the gospel. And then all of a sudden you start thinking, well, I can go on and on. That's what it means. Think on things above. We think of, it has to be in heaven. No, things can be from heaven. And so that's how we do it. And so Peter says in verse 13 here, I don't think we got any further yet. 1 Peter 13, gird up the loins of your mind and be sober. He says, and be sober. That, we think of being sober. Well, I'm not drunk tonight. I guess I'm okay. No, to be sober means to be, it can mean free from the influence of intoxicants, but it means to watch. So you gird up the loins and you watch. You're awake. You have self-control. You're stable. I'm going to focus on the Lord. I'm not going to let anything dull my sense. I'm going to watch. Watch tomorrow how many things will try to take over your mind. I'll bet you'll be up 15 minutes and something will be taking over your mind. Gird up the loins and watch. Be sober. Be awake. Be free of anything that would influence you. Gird up the loins of your mind. Have self-control. Be means sober-minded. Have self-control. Be filled with the Spirit. Keep your mental state straight. And the third thing he says, rest in verse 13 is, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Rest your hope fully. Your hope is fully in the grace of God. Not in anything else. Live having your hope upon the return of Jesus Christ for his church. That's your hope. The grace of God. One day reigning with Jesus. And you know what? I was reading about an example of this. And it states that it's like an engaged couple. What does an engaged couple do? They're preparing and they're focusing on the wedding. Who are we, saints? The bride of Christ. So our hope is in the grace of God. Our hope is one day that this engagement is going to be complete and we're going to be with the Lord, the bride of Christ. That's what an engaged couple does. They're all excited, aren't they? They're all excited. And the closer the day comes, more excited, preparing, getting ready. That's what we're to do. That's what he's trying to say. Get excited, rejoice, hope in the Lord. That wedding's coming. You're going to be with the Lord. When we get to heaven, I'll see you and I'll say, remember that? Here we are. Who's the best man? Jesus is everything. He's coming again to rule and to reign. But be excited about the bride, about the wedding. Our hope is God's grace. That's what it tells us in verse 13. Our hope rests fully upon the grace. Did you ever hope in something else other than the Lord and find that it took you through for a while, but then it failed like everything else? It ends. See, Jesus never fails. It's not going to end. Fully upon him. Look up, not down. God will get us through our trials. You know, we used to sing that song, "Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord." That's a good song. Strength, I know we're going to sing it Sunday, I got a feeling. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. And that's quite a song. Verse 13, "Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ when we see him. As obedient children," we're to live as obedient children, "not conforming yourselves to the former lusts as in your ignorance." We do this, we live that way because we are God's child. We're God's child. We're a new creation. We're part of the family of God. If we're God's child, I don't know of any parent that likes it when their child is disobedient, do you? I don't know of anybody that likes a disobedient child. Well, we're God's child. We don't want to be disobedient. If you've done something, just tonight get with God and say, "Daddy, I'm sorry." So, as obedient children we live. How do we do that? By not conforming ourselves to the former lusts, as in your ignorance. Don't be like the person you were before you knew Christ. Don't be like that. Don't live like the former creation. This, as obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts. Don't live like that, as in your ignorance. You're ignorant. You weren't born again. When I became a born-again Christian, a lot of things started bothering me that I did in the past. Ooh, shouldn't have said those things, shouldn't have done those things. We were ignorant of what it is to live for God, of what was the right thing to do at times. So in verse 14, we're told to live as obedient children because now we know what's right and we know what's wrong. We're to obey our daddy. Live the new life in Christ is what he's saying. You and I are a new creation. Then we need to be obedient children and don't conform to the former lusts. Stay out of those old sins and things you once did. See, a Christian has the Holy Spirit dwelling in them. We don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit. A child of God should live a godly life. A godly child should live a godly life. Don't go back to the old life and former sins. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 6, please. 1 Corinthians 6. Verse 9 to 11. "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, homosexuals, sodomites, thieves, covetous, drunkards, revelers, extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God." He says, you know that now. But look at verse 11. "And such were some of you. But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." See, we were that. But we don't want to be that anymore. Isn't it great that he delivered us from those sins? Why would we want to go back into sin? We don't, because we're now a child of God. We're a new creature in Christ. We have a new father, our daddy in heaven. And we want to please him. So we want to live godly. You know, a lot of people pray, "Oh, I just wish I could please God or be in the center of God's will." Just be an obedient child, and you will. I don't understand us humans. It's so simple what God tells us to do, and yet our flesh gets in the way, and we don't do it. So Don't go back to the former sins or live the old life. Back to our text. 15, verse 15. But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. He is holy. The Bible tells us God is holy. He is holy. Be holy as he who called you is holy. We're to be holy in all our conduct. No misbehaving. Now, let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 7. 2 Corinthians. And actually, we'll start at chapter 6. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 17. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 17. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you. You shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. We've been called out to separate ourselves from the world. And do not go back. Touch not what is unclean, and he will be a father to you, and you shall be his sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Therefore, since we are his children, we have these promises of what we're going to get, cleanse ourselves. A person will say, well, how do I become holy? Well, it tells us right here in verse 1. Cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. I can grieve the spirit. I can quench the spirit and not do what God wants me to do. Cleanse ourselves in our flesh and in our spirit. Separate ourselves wholly unto God. When it says cleanse yourselves from all filthiness of the flesh, that's outward. And when it says of the spirit, that's inward. We Christians are not to follow after the ungodly world, the unholy world. Our character should be holy because God is holy. The word holy is hagios, and it means pure morally, blameless. Now, blameless doesn't mean we'll never sin. It means we're covered by the blood of the Lamb. We confess. See, because we're never going to be perfect. But we can be blameless, consecrated to the Lord. And what he's saying is, we have all this in Christ, you know, and he goes on with all, you know, in verse 13 and 14, you know, that gird up the loins, keep your mind on things above. We went over, be obedient children, not conforming yourselves. But as he will call you as holy, be holy in all your conduct. What he's saying is, as God's child, people should know I'm a Christian by my character. They should know I'm a Christian just by my character, that I'm different, that I'm separated unto God. You know, in 2 Peter 1, verse 4, it says we're partakers of the divine nature. We're partakers of the divine nature. We have been set apart for God. Colossians 3, if you'd like to turn there again. Colossians 3, verse 17. As we read in verse 1 of or verse 2 of Colossians 3, set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. But then in verse 17, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Whatever we do, we should have godly character. As God is holy, we are to be holy. So back in our text in verse 16, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. Way back in the Old Testament, It was said, be holy, for I am holy. It's in Leviticus chapter 11, verse 44 and 45. And it was speaking of not eating unclean animals. And God had all these laws to stay holy and pure. In our case, we stay unspotted from the world. Be holy as he is holy. So, holiness, you know, we even sing that song, holiness is what I long for. No, we ought to take that to heart, a lot of these songs. Because God is holy, and we shouldn't only long for holiness, we should live holy, separated unto God. Holiness is to the spiritual life what health is to the physical life. We all know what health is to the physical life. Boy, I love it when I feel good. It's good to feel healthy. Well, you also know when it's not right with the spiritual life. And it's usually because a lack of holiness, consecration to the Lord, my life given over to the Lord. We are called to holiness, to godly living. As we read, we're to focus on the Lord, be obedient children, and hope in the grace of God. Jesus is coming soon. We are his bride. We should be excited about that, as an engaged couple is and excited about the coming wedding. That's how we can rejoice in whatever we go through, because we know at the end of this engagement is this wedding, and we'll be with the Lord. So we leave the focus group today right here at this verse, and we pick it up next week at verse 17. Lord, we thank you for your word tonight. We pray that you would guide us in our life. We thank you for your blessings, Lord, for your many benefits on this earth. God, it's just wonderful to have your word, to be encouraged in the Lord and to focus back on you. Help us to gird up our minds, Lord, so that we're not letting anything take over, hinder us, get in the way. As thoughts come into our mind of earthly or worldly or sinful things, help us, Lord, immediately to focus back on you. It's the way we get through this day, every day, in a world such as we live in. We pray for your strength. We thank you for your great love and faithfulness. We thank you that you never give up on us. You love your children, and we love you. And we thank you that we have a Father in heaven. God, tonight as we pray, inhabit our prayers, lay on our hearts the things we should pray for. The battle is on. The attack of Satan is on. But greater is he who's in us than he that's in the world. So prepare us, Lord, after we sing to go to prayer and bring victories tonight. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.